You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Alistair McLeod with me once again. And thank you for joining me again, Alistair.
That's my pleasure, Jay.
It's always good to have you here. Have a few weeks, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks between discussions, because there's always so much to ask you about. There's so many ideas that are not all that common out there, and that's why we like to have you on. I've sort of titled today's show Preparing for a Monetary Reset, but, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that in some circles, about the likelihood of some sort of a monetary collapse and a new system to replace the existing dollar system. But, of course, if you mention that notion to most Americans, they will look at you like you need to be hospitalized, and not necessarily for COVID-19, but for mental illness. You seem to me, Alistair, to be a man of sound mind, a rational person, very rational person, yet you are warning of a collapse of the existing dollar system. Last week you wrote the third of the series of articles focusing on the outlook for major currencies. The first concluded that the U.S. dollar is already on the path to monetary hyperinflation. And the second article, you concluded that the euro system is close to a collapse as a consequence of combination of failures, commercial banks, and Target 2 settlement system likely to collapse the currency itself. And then this past week, you made the case for the downfall of the British pound sterling, given that the Bank of England is really essentially copying U.S. monetary policy, and because of that, we'll find it increasingly difficult to prevent the pound from escaping the same fate as the dollar. So I'm wondering if you could just maybe briefly take a couple of minutes to say why, and you can't do this in detail, of course, in a couple of minutes, but why you think all three of those currencies are headed for the dustbin of history.
Well, I think you summed up the difference, perhaps, between what's happening to the dollar and the pound with the euro. The euro is a slightly different thing. They are all already committed to hyperinflation. And hyperinflation I would define as an increase in the quantity of money in circulation, which is accelerating and cannot be controlled anymore by the system, if you like, the system being the central bank and the government. And we can see this already with the dollar. For example, we've had this enormous stimulus on the first wave of COVID in America. The budget deficit before COVID was meant to be, and this is for last year, meant to be just over $1 trillion. The final outturn was $3.4 trillion. In the second half of the last fiscal year, from March to the end of September, the annual rate of the budget deficit was $4.4 trillion. Yeah. Now, we've started a new fiscal year in America, and quite honestly, with the way COVID is coming back for a second bite at the human race, I think that $4.4 trillion is actually going to be left behind in the current fiscal year, and we're going to see even more. And one of the reasons we're going to see even more is, don't forget that last September, we had a crisis in the repo market, which showed that we were in effect at the end of the bank credit cycle. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but if you go back a little bit further, you will remember that there was a trade war between America and China, which in conjunction with the end of the credit cycle looks absolutely a doppelganger for what happened in 1929, when you had the end of the Roaring Twenties, again, expansion of bank credit, and the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act, which was passed by Congress in October 1929. And that happened to be the month when Wall Street had its enormous crash. I mean, so over 30% from top to bottom. And guess what? At the beginning of this year, before March, we had a crash of 33% in the S&P 500 index. Until the 20th of March, when on the 16th of March, the Fed cut interest rates to zero. And on the 23rd, which was a Monday, emergency statement from the FOMC, we're going to print whatever it takes to rescue the economy. And at that stage, the whole thing changed. So we have got the similarity to the situation in that awful time is enormous. But the big difference is that back in 29, the dollar was on a gold standard. This time, it is pure fiat. And so the way in which this is being dealt with is to print money. We've had one round of printing money, an enormous round. We will have another round. And then when the Fed realizes and the markets realize that there is a slump, irrespective of all this money printing, at that stage, people will then begin, and probably foreigners, first of all, who owned huge quantities of dollars, $27 trillion at the last count, they will panic. They will want to get out of the dollar. The dollar will go down. The purchasing power of the dollar will go down in the foreign exchanges before it goes down domestically. But that will follow. So you can see that the hyperinflation is of the quantity of money. The effect on prices is yet to come. So we've got a similar situation with sterling. I mean, obviously, the details are somewhat different. But if you look at the euro, which is the other big, big currency, and the one against which the dollar is most measured in trade-weighted terms, the euro has huge, great debts within the banking system. And what they have been doing is they've been shoveling debts out from the national level into the Target 2 system. The imbalances in the Target 2 system are now accelerating at a very rapid pace, and it is only a matter of time before that whole system falls over. So that, in a summary, is, if you like, what I see. Now, of course, those aren't the only fiat currencies around. Virtually all currencies in the world are fiat currencies. And consequently, other currencies will, you know, once the confidence goes in the big boys, it's going to go in the little ones as well. So I think we're set up for, you know, the sort of the next calendar year is really going to be a very, very different thing from anything anyone's seen before.
When you mentioned Target 2 system, could you just explain what that is?
Yes, basically, it is the settlement system between countries. So, you know, in theory, the way it works is, let's say a German company exports machinery to Italy. The Italian buyer then pays for the machinery through its bank, which is then paid through the Banca d'Italia, which is then paid to the Bundesbank, and the Bundesbank then credits the money to the bank account, if you like, the whichever bank it is, whether it's Deutsche Bank or Commerzbank or whoever, which offers the banking services to the manufacturer in Germany. Now, in theory, obviously that would create a shortage of money in Italy and a surplus of money in Germany. And in terms of what they see in the central banks, that means that the Banca d'Italia would have a deficit into the system. And Bundesbank would actually have a credit. But that unwinds itself usually because the imbalances are sorted by capital flows the other way.
Right.
You've got, you know, tourists going to Italy from Germany. You have got, you know, the investment companies in Germany buying Italian bonds and so on and so forth. So one way or the other, the flows go the other way. And certainly until the great financial crisis, when Lehman fell over, these things did work in balance. But ever since Lehman, it's the balances have gone askew. And actually what's happening is that the flows have stopped going through. And what local regulators say in Italy, what they do is they say non-performing loans, we will deem these performing so they can be collateral, which can be used by the banks to borrow money from the central bank. So what happens is that, you know, the bad debts go into the Target 2 system. and they lead to these imbalances. And that is why you've got these imbalances. It's not Italians opening bank accounts in Deutsche Bank or Commerzbank or whatever. It is actually the local regulators trying to get rid of bad debts within their national banking system and dumping it into Target 2. So mm-hmm. Target 2 is riddled with bad debts, and this is very worrying. And I mean, at the moment, the Bundesbank is notionally owed in the region of 1.2 trillion euros through the Target system. Now, if the Target 2 system falls over, what then happens is interesting, because the Bundesbank has to write off that 1.2 billion euros. Sorry, it's trillion euros.
Yeah.
Trillion euros. And instead, it has a liability, which is determined by its capital key. Now, the capital key basically is its shareholding in the ECB. Mm-hmm. And if you just look at the shareholdings of the banks within the Eurozone, then that means that on current imbalances, it looks like Deutsche Bank could be, instead of having that $1.2 trillion, they could have a liability of $400 billion.
Oh, goodness.
So this is you can see how the situation must be. I mean, the boys in the Bundesbank must be terrified of this thing falling over, but they can't do anything because they don't want to precipitate a collapse of the system.
Sure, sure.
So this is a very dangerous situation. And if you look at the gearing, the balance sheet gearing in the...
I think we've lost Alistair. I'm not sure if we can get him back or not. Alistair was talking about... the Target 2 situation, situation where essentially zombie institutions, as I understand it, are allowed to exist and allowed to be retained. It is not unlike a lot of games that have been played over the years in recent times with, when we try to pretend that companies are solvent when they're not, we have gone into situations where we're trying to pretend that things are good when they're not, and we're essentially lying. And like Pinocchio's nose, every lie begets a bigger lie, and that seems to be where we're at. I'm not sure if we'll get Alistair back to continue some of his thoughts, but I would just say that he has recently written a piece that I wanted to ask him about next, having to do with hyperinflation. He said hyperinflation is here. Essentially, I think he was starting to talk about this. My next question for Alistair had to do with how he knows that that's true. And I think what he was suggesting was that when central banks have no choice but to continue printing money more and more faster and faster in order to keep the system from imploding. So that is where he thinks we are right now. He says that hyperinflation is a condition whereby monetary authorities accelerate the expansion of the quantity of money to the point where it proves impossible for them to regain control. It ends when the state's fiat currency is finally worthless. It is an evolving crisis, not a climatic event. We have Alistair back on the phone. Alistair, are you with us again?
Yes, I'm with you. I'm sorry about that. The internet seems to have dropped. We've been having troubles in England.
Oh, okay. Well, it happens to the best of us, Alistair. No doubt about it. I was gonna pick up on this notion. I think you pretty well satisfied the Target 2 question and helped me understand what's going on there. It seems to me that it's like a situation where it's one little lie begets a bigger lie, and you're continually trying to cover up with bigger lies to cover up earlier ones, and financially speaking. But with regard to hyperinflation, your article of October 15th, hyperinflation is here. If I understand, when you know that situation, when you know you're in a hyperinflation situation, it's when you can no longer pull back the reins, or the whole thing will come toppling down. And so you have to keep printing more and more money faster and faster, I guess.
Yes, that's true. There is one misconception, which I think we ought to address, and that mm-hmm. is that people think that it's a sort of linear relationship between the amount of money printed and the loss of purchasing power for the currency. That is not the case. I mean, basically what happens is that if people decide that they don't want to use the money which the government offers, mm-hmm. then that money becomes valueless. It's as simple as that. Now, obviously, there are shades between that, you know, in that black and white situation where money is either accepted or it's not accepted. Mm-hmm. But basically, what happens is that when people realize that the government is bust, that dealing with COVID, you know, has had two huge, great injections of money, which is debasement of money, which is removing purchasing power from money, and the prospect is then of even more, at that stage, you will find that people begin to smell a rat, and they mm-hmm. will think, I don't want to have any of this money. What I need to do is to get rid of this money as quickly as possible for goods I don't necessarily need, mm-hmm. but the main thing is to just get rid of the money. Now, mm-hmm. that is what the Austrians, particularly Ludwig von Mises, called the crack-up boom. In other words, it's the final flight out of money into goods. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to have a massive expansion of the quantity of money, let's say in Venezuelan terms, in order to achieve that. It can happen, actually, just through loss of confidence in the public mm-hmm. that the money has any value at all.
Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing here when you wrote your article, Hyperinflation, we haven't seen that crack-up boom yet, but what we've seen is the pathology of hyperinflation, where the bankers' hands are tied. They cannot, the central bank, the Federal Reserve, cannot hold back on the creating of more and more money faster and faster, it seems, to keep the system from imploding. And so it's just a matter of when the confidence will be lost. Which leads me to ask you, what do you think it will take for Americans to start smelling a rat?
Well, I think it'll happen in sort of two steps, as it were. The first step is that just remember that the foreigners have something like $27 trillion of securities, financial securities, and bank balances, deposits, denominated in dollars. So they're the people who will get frightened first, in my opinion. And just remember that $27 trillion is like 130% of U.S. GDP, or 2019 GDP. So we're talking about more than the whole of the output of the United States being held in foreign hands which held it quite happily until this COVID thing started messing everything up. Now, when those foreigners begin to realize that there is real trouble, if you like, in holding dollars, and actually they've got greater priorities, like having their own currencies to support their own businesses back at home, which are loss-making and so on and mm-hmm. so forth, you can mm-hmm. see that there will be selling of American dollars. And we've seen this already with China. China took a decision after the Fed effectively said, you know, we will print as much as it takes back on the 23rd of mm-hmm. March, China then changed her strategy to dump dollars in order to stockpile commodities. Now that, mm-hmm. if you like, is a variation on the crack-up boom. Here we are seeing a major international player, probably the second largest international player, deciding to dump dollars for commodities. That, if you like, is their version of a crack-up boom. So I think it starts with the foreigners, and then at some stage it will be realized in domestic America that the purchasing power of the dollar is going down. It's not the prices of things are going up, but the purchasing power of the dollar is going down. And at that stage, I think they will begin to dump it. So it's something that can happen with alarming rapidity, and I think that's a point worth making.
Yeah, that's the hockey stick you see in the hyperinflation charts of hyperinflation Germany, I suppose, other places as well. And it happens very rapidly. You could have a gentle sort of rise in inflation, and all of a sudden, boom, it just goes crazy. Crack-up boom. So the Chinese have smelled a rat. Ray Dalio and other very smart hedge fund guys have smelled a rat, and they started, doing exactly that. Now, you know, if you look at the Dow Jones, for example, since the year 2000, gold has beaten the it hands down. It's beaten Warren Buffett hands down, just owning gold. You know, you could have just bought gold and gone fishing or whatever you like to do and done very well. And so it's already happening. I mean, the gold is performing extremely well. It seems like most people aren't terribly aware of it. My engineer tells me we only have 4 minutes left, so I want to get to this idea of a monetary reset. China has been accumulating huge amounts of gold. You've talked about it in the past. Russia has done that too. A lot of the countries that are sort of adversarial nations, as the United States has chosen to deem them, are building up their gold. And as you said, China is dumping dollars. They smell the rat. In a reset, there's a lot of talk, of course, about using cryptocurrencies. How do you think this might play out, Alistair? And what's your – I mean, nobody knows. I know it's asking you an impossible question. But what are your thoughts on this topic?
Well, my thoughts on this is that things are likely to happen too quickly for a considered reset, if we can put it that way, using cryptocurrencies. Because central banks will like to test these things to destruction before they will actually lease, you know, let it loose on the public. And there are huge, huge, great uncertainties in all this as well, because effectively central bank digital currencies bypass the commercial banks. And the commercial banks, I don't think, are actually going to want to sign up to that sort of arrangement. So this is not something that can be easily done. The second point I would make in the limited time we have got available is that most people who comment on a reset seem to assume that the authorities know what they're doing. I'm afraid they don't. They don't even understand the basics of money and the theory of exchange. And consequently, the idea that they can actually manage a reset, I'm afraid, is cloud cuckoo stuff. They basically have their backs to the wall when it comes to trying to rescue the economy in the current situation. They have a potential banking crisis. They have a potential asset price collapse as well. And they're trying to manage those things desperately. The last thing that they want to do is to try and, if you like, introduce some sort of new element which just ends up making the whole situation far more difficult for them. So consequently, I think people who think that the authorities have the ability to manage a reset, I think they're completely wrong. I think a reset will come out of the ashes of the collapse of fiat currencies, and I think that's going to be the way of it. The authorities will try and hang on to everything as much as they can, but that's not going to work.
Okay, so that's going to be something that comes out of the ashes, and can we hope? We can always hope. What are the prospects of building a cryptocurrency connected to gold or silver or something tangible, so that it can't get away from them again the way these fiat currencies have? Because when we went off the gold standard, it messed everything up in the United States. I'm looking at all the charts, all the redistribution of income. It was egalitarian until that point in time. It messed up the capital markets. We no longer know what the price of capital is, so it's destroyed capitalism. Can we have something better that might come out of the ashes, Alistair?
Well, if they try and do some sort of reset with central bank digital currencies or whatever it might be, basically it's still the same thing. It's unbacked state money, which ultimately, its purchasing power depends on confidence and faith in the state. Now, when the state has already collapsed with one currency, nobody's going to have much faith in a second currency. The only answer is a currency which is backed by gold or silver and actually convertible in the form of circulating coinage. That is desperately important. If they do that, then financial stability, monetary stability will return. But until then, I'm afraid it will be rather like the situation in France at the time of revolution. They introduced the assignat, which collapsed. They then introduced the mandat territoriaux, which then collapsed. But the mandat territoriaux took something like just literally 6 months to collapse completely. So,
All right,
the answer is gold and silver and have circulating coinage. Without that, okay. I'm afraid nothing the state does will work.
All right. In the meantime, that's what we all need to do as we're able to is trade our increasingly worthless fiat in for those kinds of assets. Alistair, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and all the best to you and yours over across the pond. That is all the time we have this week, folks. Next week, Lynn Alden, who is one of the sharpest independent macro analysts that I've come in contact with for a while, and Corwin Coe of Sitka Gold will be with us. Until then, goodbye, and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Benchmark Metals is an advanced gold-silver exploration company that is rapidly advancing its Canadian gold-silver project to a production decision. Benchmark is nearing completion of its largest program to date, with up to 100,000 meters of resource expansion and definition drilling in 2020. The multi-million ounce potential project is expected to have a new mineral resource estimate and PEA study completed in 2021. The company is backed by the Metals Group management team and believes this aggressive program will be complemented by one of the strongest commodity bull markets in decades. Visit benchmarkmetals.com and subscribe to follow their success.